What does it mean to be human?
I've been
Welcome to Radio Freeman. So today we're going to look at the human and start to wonder and investigate what it is that we are doing here on planet Earth. I find it a problem that we consider that these leaders are going to continue to lead us down this path of destruction, and we expect this. And I've been thinking a lot about expectation and about the things that we think about and what we do. And I've come, of course, to the realization that we are all spiritual beings that can actually manifest reality as we project it forward. And as we start to realize what is being done to our brains through these reality manufacturers, then we start to realize that we're not projecting a proper future for ourselves, and we actually are wasting our time dealing with them, and we are actually accepting them as the reality instead of focusing on what we consider to be reality. So if we were to begin now to see ourselves as the manufacturers of reality, as manifesting reality ourselves, and then we could start to project this new future instead of allowing their future to superimpose what we really want to exist on planet Earth. So as we look at our picture and we start to decipher what they are doing and how they are leading us astray through their misguidance, through their psychological operations, and through the media and all of the reality manufacturing tools that are being used against us, then we find ourselves without really a plot line for the future, because all we see is what they offer us. And so when we see movies like The Secret and they tell you, well, don't you want a new car? You know, this is promoting a new particular future for yourself, which allows this nefarious brotherhood to continue ruling our existence. And if you were to ask me what I really want, that would be, you know, peace, safety, joy, bliss, miracles, wonder, excitement, enchantment. The last thing I would have on my list, if it was even on my list, would be a new car. Because that type of reality manufacturing is keeping us in the matrix. I would want to fly. I would want to be able to accomplish the things that I do in my dream state, as opposed to a new car. So today I want to propose to you a new game plan, a game plan of expectation, a game plan where we start to act as if our future is what we want it to be, where we eliminate the fear of Big Brother and eliminate the fear of the chip and of state-sponsored terrorism, eliminate the fear of all of these things and start to project a future that is positive. Now, this won't be easy. I know. I definitely try to keep myself in this positive expectation where I know that miracles are going to come before me and lead me on my path. And it does take constant maintenance. So you can't just sit back and allow things to occur and then not expect positive results. Because if you're not focusing on the positive results, the negative results will slip into your brain. And if you start to focus on those, then you absolutely will manifest those as well. So if we start to consider the power of our minds and recognize that the Brotherhood has known about this forever and ever and has been using this power for themselves, using our very miraculous powers to manifest their reality instead of one that's proper for humans, then you start to realize what's going on. You start to realize that all this effort is for that, to control your imagination. So as we start to look at our future, let's start to forget all of the things that we see. Well, you know, I know it's difficult, but let's stop focusing on the evil and start focusing on the positive, because this is the only solution. So as we set out our prayer field out before us, we want it to go way out in front of us and uplift the spirits of the people that will come into our path, and so that they can be at their highest vibration to be able to give us the most positive miracle that they have to offer, which will be a little tidbit of information or just a guidance that we need. And this is the real reality that exists and has been usurped by this manufactured reality. Today, I grant you the powers to create whatever reality you want for our future. So I have a lot of faith in you guys. I really do. I know that humans are good and that all of this evil that we see has been manufactured. So I have ultimate faith in all of you to make the right choices as to what our future should be. And so today, starting now, you have the power to live the future you want. And that's what it's going to require. It's going to require you having the strength to turn away from this manufactured future that has been handed to you, and to start to just walk a new path, to start trailblazing a new way to the future. You have that power. So now you need to start living it. That's the way this thing will turn around. No other way. If you're going to keep counteracting what Big Brother is doing, counteracting what these nefarious intelligence agencies are putting before you, then you're going to be running on a treadmill, and we will get nowhere except for doom. But if you start to act as if you are in charge of your future, as if you are a sentient, sovereign being on planet Earth, then you can start to manufacture reality. This is the truth of the matter. Now, if you really want to understand where I'm coming from and where my thoughts, how my thoughts are formed and where this all comes from, then the best thing to do is to imagine me an extraterrestrial. Now, yes, I was born on planet Earth. I was born of my mother. But I traveled here from another system. I came here from what I believe to be the Pleiades. I've always been attracted to the Pleiades, and I have a nurturing feeling when I think back on that little star cluster. Now, here I was, kicking it back on my home planet, and we're all humans there, but we live a different type of life out there, what you here on planet Earth would call Shambhala. And back on the homeland, which circles the star Alcyone, we humans actually have the ability to, well, do all those things that we do here on planet Earth in our dreams. And actually, our dreams are memories of this home. And so, flying, teleportation, bilocation, all of these things are simply natural for us back on the home planet. The place is a wonderful, green, lush planet with waterfalls and clear running streams, and the art and architecture are all worked within the natural environment and do nothing but accent the beauty of the natural environment. We live within this natural flow of synchronicities, of coincidences, where you don't need to be concerned with your future. Future think is actually not even existent on my planet. This is a new thing that I've been trying to learn here on planet Earth, much like many of the other things on planet Earth. But future think is one of the things that doesn't exist because you live in the here and now, and everything is constantly brought before you for you to make the next step on your journey. Now, of course, existence is always about a journey. It is always about learning and living. And sometimes life can get a little too easy. I mean, it's always a miracle and always so beautiful and wonderful and it always leaves you elated. But sometimes there are those of us on the planet that have a little more adventurous soul and want to go ahead and take on a bigger challenge. And so I had looked at Earth many times while I was there, and I'd often wondered what it would be like to be here and what it would be like to be here now when everything is in such a change state, when everything is coming to a culmination of a new reality. And so I decided to come here. And now on my planet we live a lot longer, and you wouldn't even think of having sex until you were about 120 years old, if not older. Youth on my planet exists a lot longer than it does here on planet Earth. Life is very fast here on planet Earth, and really for me this is almost like a roller coaster ride in an amusement park. It's merely a blip on my reality timeline. So, people on my planet, we travel by soul travel. And so, therefore, I chose to incarnate into this body inside my mom. And I actually traded with the soul that was going to be incarnating in this body at this time. And he's back loving life on Pallades. Or wherever he wanted to go, I'm not sure. I think that I would go to the Pallades. Anyway, so I was born here. I was born of my mother, but I selected my parents, just as all of you have done, to give myself the proper environment to lead myself down this path. Because once you come, your soul travels. You see, we don't use spacecraft like most on Earth think that extraterrestrials would use. No, the power of the soul to travel the universe is infinite, and we all have it, but we're kind of trapped here due to our mental plane. No other reason. We have been binded in our minds. But when you incarnate on planet Earth, then you forget all of the things that you know from your existence. And so I do have this thought, this memory of home. I know what it's like. I can feel it. And it is this feeling that is my compass towards what I am going to achieve on planet Earth. You see, I know of this beautiful existence that humans have. And so I am set my course towards that beauty. And no matter what's going on planet Earth, I always know that this exists. And I also know that I am infinite, and therefore all of these things, like I say, are merely a ride in an amusement park. Now, certainly, just like a roller coaster, sometimes I question why the hell I got on this thing. But, like I was saying, experience is the only thing that the universe is for. That is what this material universe exists for, so that our souls can experience, and molecules can collide in the third dimension. We are spiritual beings on a third dimensional trip, and it is only within the third dimension that you can walk into a wall. You know what I'm saying? So we want to experience this. And I came down here with knowledge of the races that were in charge of planet Earth, but of course I forgot all about them. But they're there in my subconscious, and they came forward in that picture that I drew when I was 10. They were there to give me a big clue, And of course, on planet Earth, we call this remote viewing. But for me, it simply is memory that is lost in my subconscious or in my superconscious. And I have opened myself now to these beliefs and these understandings, and so they are coming forth. And so it's no surprise that my father is involved with aliens and Freemasonry and submarines, which we'll get to the subs there a little more in the future when we discuss more of the merfolk of Atlantis. But it's no surprise that my father was all these things, and it's no surprise that my mother was involved with, well, if you realize that my grandfather was chased to the hills for standing up against the Nazis, right? You know, I guess it runs in the family, and of course it does, because I chose this family. And if you realize that my mother was raised by a renowned healer, that people would come from all over Europe to have my grandmother heal their animals and their sick with spells that she did under the full moonlight. And then my mother being a member of the Eastern Star and being married to the grand potentate of German Freemasonry and then coming over to my father. All of these things are not coincidence. All of these things are not happenstance. This is what I selected when I came here. So there are many of you out there as well that are from my planet, and I know this because I run into you all the time, and you all know it, and we discuss these type of things, and God, the number of Palladians that I've met is just incredible. And it's funny too, because I always find you out at Rainbow, and of course Rainbow is one of the more human events that you can go to. Because we know what it is to be human. So this is the best way to understand where I come from. Just think of me along these lines. I am an extraterrestrial on planet Earth trying to understand what keeps all of you moving into this path of doom. And of course, I've understood these nefarious groups that seem to be from Sirius and Draco, the reptilian and also merfolk bloodlines that are in charge of planet Earth. And so I have a little bit of another understanding of what's going on planet Earth, because I don't see it as humans simply being awful and destroying planet Earth like a virus. I don't see it this way. I see these extraterrestrial or alien inhuman forces in control of your reality matrix. And so I'm here to bust open that very system, and they even call us from Palladius system busters, and that's exactly what I am. And I have no fear, because I don't call planet Earth home, and I don't expect to be on planet Earth all that long anyway. Maybe I'll make it through this whole lifetime, who knows, you know. I certainly am setting my expectation in that way, because it's going to be so wonderful when we actually break loose, when we actually find our true reality and manifest it. And I can't wait for that day. And we see this day coming. We feel it in our hearts. And it can even be described in a third dimensional sense, as we realize that our solar system is moving in an orbit just like the planet is orbiting the sun. The solar system is orbiting the galactic center. And if you recognize that this orbit takes 26,000 years, and that for the last 13,000 years, or the back half of this 26,000 years, is the exact span of civilization as we know it today, then you can start to understand what happened. Now, around 13,000 years ago, a great catastrophe happened to planet Earth. And it didn't simply destroy planet Earth. Well, it didn't destroy planet Earth. It nearly did, but it absolutely destroyed planet Mars. So 13,000 years ago, as we entered the dark half, or what I call the great night of the astrological cycle, or the great year, we entered 13,000 years ago into this great night. And at that point, the Atlanteans, who I know are the Martians, who were overcome by this reptilian force, which are not completely third dimensional. They are mostly fourth dimensional, and they could adapt themselves to the DNA of this white race of Mars, the Atlanteans. Here on Earth were the Lemurians, and they were more like what I described the Palladians to be like. They were more human, and had their love force was so strong, their chi, their power was so strong that the Martians, the Atlanteans, could never attack and take over Lemuria. Each time the Atlanteans would try, they would simply fall dead from their own karma, you see, because with this love field, this prayer extension that the Lemurians had, instant karma would come upon the Atlanteans as they tried to war with the Lemurians, the Earthlings. Now, at this time, Lemuria, or Earth, was much closer to the sun, and this is why they had browner skin. And Mars actually was in the place that Earth is right now. But at this time, as we moved into the Great Night, the Atlanteans' power became stronger. The Lemurians' power became a bit weaker as we moved into the darkness away from the galactic center. And so the Atlanteans took this moment to attack, and they used their ultimate tool, which was a Death Star, which is now orbiting under Saturn. And we call it the moon Iapetus. But this is actually a constructed tool that the Atlanteans used. And at this moment, 13,000 years ago, they struck. Now, what this tool could do was actually create gravitational wells. And so they created a gravity well that actually pulled a giant chunk of Jupiter out of Jupiter, and it created what we now know as Venus, the light bearer, Lucifer. And Venus came into the planetary system from Jupiter and was starting to cause havoc in the planetary system. It got out of control and it destroyed planet Earth. It struck planet Earth, and it knocked planet Earth out of its gravitational belt and actually moved it into a new gravitational belt where it exists now. And Mars was also struck out. Like, it was like a game of pool where Venus was the cue ball and came in and struck everything, and this caused havoc in the entire solar system. It laid Neptune on its side. It caused Pluto to go on a wild, erratic course, and it actually took a big chunk out of planet Earth, Lemuria. Now, what you will see is that Lemuria was actually a much smaller planet when it was closer to the sun, and when this great catastrophe occurred, it actually expanded, and this is where we get the crustal shift, not from slow movement of plate tectonics. No, this was a massive expansion of planet Earth. Earth had inner oceans that, when we moved on the gravitational belt, actually just expanded. And you can still see where the big chunk of Earth was taken out by this devastating force, Venus, Lucifer, and that is the Pacific Basin. And so Earth was actually left a wobbling hunk where it sits now, with a big chunk missing out of it. And it was devastated. All the people of planet Earth had to go underground to try and survive, as many could survive. And the Hopi tell us tales of this, and the Hopi and the Central and South Americans tell us tales of this. And you can read a lot about that in the Lost Continent of Mu. So the Atlanteans then wanted to take over. Their planet was completely devastated by this. They lost all life on their planet, and they're just merely ghosts there now. And but yet they still exist, right, in a force. And the humans, the reptilian humans of planet Mars, then set on a course to come and take over planet Earth, and they landed in the Fertile Crescent, the Sinai Peninsula. They then brought Mars's moon over to circle planet Earth, and this is why the moon actually is the only body in the universe that orbits in a circle. And it is also why this body orbits so perfectly, never showing us the dark side, never showing us the opposite side of the moon. It was placed there to stabilize the wobbling hunk that was Lemuria, which now we call planet Earth. The Atlanteans then came and settled in into the Sinai Peninsula, and mostly into the Caucasus Mountains, which is where we get our Caucasians. So then they needed to set up particular frequency modulators to set up a matrix, a grid around planet Earth, so that the Lemurians would never achieve their high state of humanism ever again. And these were the Great Pyramids that were set up and aligned to channel the energies coming from Sirius and Orion, where their bloodline was attached to through their DNA. And then the pyramids had their perfectly smooth limestone walls, the casing stones, which are now removed, on the pyramids, to radiate this particular vibration of light out to all of planet Earth. Now, if you recognize what these pyramids are and realize that there were already pyramids in existence on planet Earth before the coming of the Great Pyramids, and you realize that these are devices, these are not monuments, they are not tombs, they are devices, and this is why they are so perfectly aligned. This is why such care went into making sure that they were stationed and positioned in particular fashion, and why such care and precision were put into the incline of the pyramid itself, into the height of the pyramid, which is exactly set up to the new size of planet Earth. Okay, so recognize that this is engineering. This is not monuments. This is not some sort of salutation. This is engineering. This is a device that is larger than what we understand or what we typically expect of our devices. But recognize that if you go and check out Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock, and I recommend reading everything Graham Hancock has ever written, you will start to see that these are devices. You'll start to see that these are actually Earth-size computers, and you'll start to recognize why there is water and gold incorporated into the South and Central American pyramids, and what these devices actually are frequency modulating computers. This is like when I discussed with Giorgio Tsoukalos from the Ancient Astronaut Research Center to understand why they put a sheet of mica in that temple. I believe it was Chichen Itza. I don't know. I got it wrong on the show, and he corrected it. So you'll have to go watch my show with Giorgio Tsoukalos to understand a little more that these are actually devices. And what you've got is gold as the conductor and water as its earth conductor. And so you'll see where there are holes dug deep into the earth where the water rises up to touch the walls, and that each of the walls, each of these rocks, were selected for its electromagnetic effects. Okay? So what we're looking at are Earth-sized devices to manifest a particular vibration, and the ones that were set up in the Giza Plateau were aligned to the vibrations from Sirius and Orion, the fish and reptilian bloodline. So now, consider again what the Brotherhood is actually doing. Consider that we are now entering the Great Dawn, the Golden Dawn, as it were, as we turn, as our solar system turns to face the galactic center, and we start to receive this new vibration of light, or old. It's as if a new day is dawning, only on a 26,000-year scale. So as we enter this new golden dawn, we start to wake up to the true potential of our humanness. And at this time, the Brotherhood are doing everything in their power to dampen that field. And so what you'll see, their campaign, as they were the great conquerors, and their campaign to eliminate any of the aboriginal people, start to recognize what's going on there. They're eliminating the subconscious or the superconscious of these people as they kill off the natives, as when Ponce de Leon landed in Florida with his cannons and attacked and murdered all of those people, all the Native Americans, and as Cortez landed and killed off all the Native Americans there. Consider that their devastation of the old growth is not to make plants or make paper or any of these things that we do. That the devastation of the old growth, once again, is to kill the old memory, to kill the old superconscience that exists, so that we can't tap into that force at this time. Consider what they are doing to our minds with their Project Mayhem and enacting all these rituals and leading us into this path of destruction through the media. Consider that the last of the old growth in the northwest of California is Bohemian Grove, where they worship their giant stone owl. This is no coincidence that they left that an old growth and killed off all of the old growth surrounding it. Consider that HARP is a frequency modulator, an ionospheric heater which uses ultra-low frequency waves to alter the vibration of Earth and the ionosphere. Consider that it was the Nazis that came over, were brought over, and that H.W. and W. and Prescott and the rest of the Bush clan were all related and working with these Nazis to start the space program, NASA, right? And if you realize that NASA and that this Brotherhood, the Nazis, who were run by the Thule Society, which is an occultic order, we'll get to that, you start to recognize that their agenda has always been to be able to launch into space. You know, it's the Nazis that put us on the moon, if we ever did go to the moon. And it's the Nazis and these occultic orders, the Skull and Bones, the Thule Society, that have their sights on space. It is not for mankind that we go into space. Consider the titles of the space shuttles, the Columbia, which is Lucifer again, Columbia, Endeavor, for the discovery of Atlantis, and all challengers will be destroyed. Then you start to understand that it is they that are seeking these technological advancements, that it is they that seek to destroy matter and to create matter. And then when you start to compound that with their rituals, and you recognize that there was a Rothschild in the tunnel when they killed Princess Diana in the sacrificial, ancient sacrificial spot of the goddess Diana. They killed Diana on the 13th pillar, and according to Arizona Wilder, there was a Rothschild in the tunnel when she died to receive her soul. Realize that Anna Nicole's baby, through Prince Frederick von Anhalt, a direct descendant of Hitler, is also a Rothschild. If you realize that Adolf Hitler was a Rothschild, that his mother was a maid in the Rothschild mansion, and that this baby has received the souls of the firstborn and of the mother. Then you start to understand their motivations and how they work. And you start to understand how soul incarnation can happen and how I might have ended up on planet Earth. Because this could be caused. This can be caused through these magical rituals. And there are a particular bloodline that have the receptors to receive the entities from Draco or this reptilian force, which exists in a higher dimension. And you will start to recognize what's actually going on planet Earth as they try to incarnate these beings and start to call them in. You'll start to understand what that spear of destiny or that Stargate is in Nashville, as I described with William Henry in the last the show before last. So these bloodlines are direct descendants of the crossbreeds. The original Atlanteans come down to planet Earth, and they were considered gods. They are the Titans. They are the men of renown, the heroes of old. They are the fallen angels. They are all these things, the Nephilim. And this bloodline then ruled planet Earth openly, and they seem to be much larger than we are. But then, as time grew on, they decided to allow humans to rule and to take more of a backseat role in the whole thing, doing their rituals and whatnot, and allowing the human bloodline to rule. So they actually crossbred with the humans and created what we call the Godmen, which would be people like King Gilgamesh or the pharaohs, who are the Godmen, like Ramses. And then you follow this genetic line straight down, and you'll find it connects to the Rothschilds, it connects to the Bushes, it connects to John Kerry, it connects to Bill Clinton, it connects to Tony Blair. These are the Godmen. These are the ones with the genetic disposition to incarnate these particular entities. And then ritual sacrifices used to call them down. These bloodlines have always used cannibalism and vampirism as their tools, and they eat and drink us. And you will find this in all of your ancient documents, so don't think I'm going out on a limb here. And that is the very reason why Christians eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ. All right, this is the same ball worship. This is the same stuff, and this is the meaning of the canted square. Is this this entity that is generated from that, what they consider the perfect human. And that is why Hitler canted his swastika, which was a symbol of the sun, which, when canted, is a symbol of this reborn sun, the sun god, the solar deity we've known as Tammuz, Horus, Krishna, and Jesus. It's all the same story, right? I know that one's hard pill to swallow, so we'll just leave that one be for a while, and you can let that one soak in. I'll do a show on all of that sometime soon. Recognize that these are the bloodlines that rule planet Earth, have ruled planet Earth, and all direct descendants of the Godmen. George W. Bush is a direct descendant of Ramses. Adolf Hitler was a direct descendant of these gods, and through the Rothschilds, and was possessed. Everyone will tell you that Hitler was possessed. So, because when they talk about Hitler, they say, well, you know, in private, he was a very meek and shy young man, or old, you know, shy man. But when he came out on stage, it was as if he was possessed. Well, he was possessed. They were using these occultic rituals to incarnate an entity into this man. And consider what he did. He would bring all of the people united together in squares and very geometric shapes and very rigid patterns, and he would have himself standing above them with all of the banners with the swastika and the red and black, and then behind him a wall of light that shot up into the sky. This is prestidigitation. This is the very thing that magicians will do to you in front of you, like David Copperfield. It is to create an emotional response out of you. This is what 911 was, to create an emotional response out of you. So when you see what Hitler was doing, he was actually practicing magic to control the masses, and they were all hypnotized or controlled by this prestidigitation. And you will find that everything he did was thought out, planned, and used to generate your or their emotional state. And it is our emotional state that actually generates the future. And so now, as you start to understand the wizards in control of planet Earth, which are an alien influence, which are inhuman, and then you can start to relate and realize that humans are not the problem on planet Earth, and start to understand how wonderful and beautiful we actually are. And as you start to incorporate this into your reality matrix, it's going to start to bust up their reality matrix. And they are running, trying to make sure we stay in that paradigm and don't ever escape into the freedom that is truly ours. And this is why I kind of get upset when the truth seekers are always wanting to go back to the Constitution and other forms of control that this brotherhood have manufactured. I mean, hell, they manufactured our very language, if you start to understand all that, and I got into that in the show as well, week before last, so we won't cover all that again, but, you know, language is also a vibration, of course, and to create the very vibration that we intone is the powers that they use. So take it all in, realize that the destruction of the old growth, the polluting of the water and the land and the air, the destruction of the Aboriginal tribes. All of this is to destroy the frequency that exists, that is coming into play now as we enter the new vibration coming from the galactic center. So it is up to us now to start to believe in our future that we want, and to stop fighting the future that they are creating. Fight the future is not the answer, as Chris Carter has put out for us. What we need to do is simply believe that the future is ours and start to generate it as we want it. So, yes, walk away from your jobs. Yes, walk away from government offices. Walk away from the military. Walk away from all the things that exist at this time. Because only that way will we ever truly find liberty and freedom. And don't try and hold on to this ancient paradigm that has been placed upon us. It is not the reality that exists. The reality that exists is more miraculous, beautiful, and divine than I could ever describe. And so we need to quit worrying about them, quit living in a fear-based system, and start to act as if we are the sentient beings of planet Earth that we are. So now is the time to move away and to start generating a new future. So I am putting forth a call to action. This is something that I can't do on the television show, but I can do here, because this is me and mine right here, and I have no controllers over what I say. And it is time to break out, people. It is time for us to just start living. And if I can get all of you to the rainbow this year, then all of us will just stay in that paradigm, and we will start to generate a new heart and soul for planet Earth. The Hopi had said that the rainbow children would be the ones to come forth and save planet Earth. Now, of course, they don't believe that the rainbow is that rainbow tribe, but we are. I know it. And we can start to generate this new world, and we can forget all about the evil. Well, you know, of course, we don't want to forget, because then we'll go and incarnate on other planets to help them free themselves from this evil force, because they're all over the friggin' universe, these guys, and certainly there have been other planets that have been taken over by them, and we we have the power to change the course, and they are right now navigating the ship. And so as soon as we take over as captains of this ship, things will change dramatically and quickly. And that is our true power. And we will be able to do this. And this is what we are here for. This is why you chose to come to planet Earth at this time. And yes, you did select to come here. No matter what you were experiencing, you wanted to do this. And so don't be angry about what's happening. Don't be mad. Don't be sad. Don't suffer grief. Don't worry about that future that you wish that you had had, because none of that really exists. And the anger only brings about more devastation. So all you got to do is just start loving and acting like a real human. And it's funny when I find that the Christians say, well, I'm a real Christian. What they really mean is that they're a true human and they have love and compassion for the rest of the human race. And the belief systems really don't matter as long as you're focused on what is right and what is good. So the call to action, my friends, it's coming to you now from the Freeman. I'm begging you all to stop what you're doing. Stop right now. And move into this new paradigm where we are in control. And just let this brotherhood fall aside, because their true power is your imagination. And if you aren't focused on what they want you to be focused on, then they lose that power. And we can start to generate Earth life as it should be. So do it, folks, do it. Let's believe, let's have a positive expectation for the future. Yes, there is all this heinous work going on around us, but realize that you are more powerful than they are. So until next week, love life. See you later. Thank you. Is illusion. Ultimate truth is infinite love, and you can achieve it. Allow this energy to enter your body. Suck it in, breathe it in, love it. Feel the goosebumps rise on your skin, and allow the force of love to be generated from you. This is the answer. There is no other answer. You are free, lovely, wonderful, nurturing, kind, beautiful, fantastic, ultimately powerful beings. Know it, live it, be it. I love you all. We'll see you soon. Good night.